Let the show begin. You guys have fun out there today.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George, Tom, and Kelly.
Hello, and welcome to episode 74 of New Shooter Canada. I'm one of your hosts, Thomas Donnelly.
I'm one of your other hosts, Kelly Lynn.
And tonight we have a step-in co-host, everybody's favorite lumberjack, Mr. Jay Hines. How you doing, Jay?
I'm good, guys. How are you guys tonight?
Good, good.
Awesome.
We've had some frustrating recording issues. We also tried to get Kevin Latham on the call, but for some reason, Skype will not let four people record tonight. We've been trying for over, 35 minutes to do a four-way call, but it didn't work. So, Kevin, we apologize. We really wanted you on the show. So, since Jay is our guest this week, Jay, what did you do in guns this week?
Oh, so first things first, I reloaded most of my CQB ammo for this year's CQB for the ORA. Just my standard load, Ramshot TAC, 55 grain Hornady full metal jacket boat tails, and just CCI primers. It's been my go-to load for, years, and a few years anyways. Other than that, just clean some firearms up, getting everything ready to go, dry fire. That's about it. I did,
You did an RO course, did you not?
Yeah, I did, actually. Saturday, I attended an RSO course for the ORA, so I'm going to be finally one of the guys there, one of Tim K's go-to guys.
That's cool.
We have a new MASH director this year that's going to do the CQB stuff, so he's a friend of mine, so he asked me to kind of step up, so I'm going to do my best to step up and help with some of the administrative side of it this year, so could be interesting. It could also be the downfall.
I think it'll be fine.
Now, when we were talking, you said it was at Lawrence and Warden. Whereabouts at Lawrence and Warden would they hold the course?
It wasn't at Lawrence and Warden, actually. It was a little bit further down. It was Kingston Road in Lawrence. It was at one of the Legion Halls. I guess some of the ORA people, they live all in that area in the Bluffs, so they use that facility quite a bit. So we were just in there in the Legion. There's 13 of us who attended, and we went over the course and all the rules and regs, and we'll be good to go here now this year. So I got myself.
Then you can have a beer afterwards too.
Yeah, did do that. It was a little bit of a drive home, and we had a few guys in the car that we all kind of carpooled down from the North Country. So we wanted to get the heck out, and we went to Target Sports on the way back in, and didn't buy anything. So we had a look around, and that was that. And places was a little bit too rich for my blood, honestly. But hey, I'm not talking bad about anybody, but.
It's a nice little store. I've been there a few times.
There's a lot of cool stock and a lot of higher end everything in there. So, you know, just there's nothing that I don't have right now anyways that I couldn't live without that was there. So I walked out empty handed anyways.
They've got a nice little range in there too.
Yeah. And you know what? It's a great range that way because anybody who doesn't know firearms and hasn't gone shooting before, that's a great place to kind of go and get your feet wet. It really, really is.
I know they have an introduction to shooting sports on the weekend, and where you can actually, I think, pay 50 or 60 bucks. You get an hour of classroom time, then you can use some guns and buy some ammo and have somebody shoot with you. But a friend of mine was telling me, you go there on the weekend, it's lined up around the block. So many people are out there to check out the sport.
Yeah, to checking out. Like it is a... when we were there, we stopped in there roughly about, I think it was about 4 o'clock-ish, in and around there. And yeah, that range was packed, and there was people, they were lined up, almost out to the counter, people waiting to get in there. So, but yeah, I mean, if I was in the market for a new pistol or a new gun that's, and they had it in there as the range guns, you know what, that'd be a great way to go out and kind of test it if you really wanted to try it before you buy it, like if they had it sitting there, because I think they rotate their stock quite a bit from what I've seen in the few times I've been there. So then they, you know, so if you wanted, hey look, I wanted to go try out maybe this new Alpha project, one of the revolvers, well, hey look, you can call down and they say, hey, do you have one of these to rent? And yeah, if they do, that'd be perfect, you know what I mean, to go try it, see if you liked it, see what you thought. But yeah, normally what they do there, and then I think you can do birthday parties, you can do all kinds of cool things.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, So if you've never ever been before, that's a great spot to go kind of wet your feet.
Yeah. I know a friend of mine for their company for Christmas, that's what they did. They think they had about 20 or 25 people, and they had a group shoot for Christmas. Yeah. But, you know, that's the only range that I can think of where you can actually go in and do what you suggested, Jay, is actually try gun before you actually buy it.
Yeah, if they have it ready to as a range gun, yeah, for sure.
I don't know if I'd actually recommend it for my place where we work to go.
You might scare the clientele.
No,
I'm talking about the staff. Anyways, the staff might shoot each other.
I know. I was talking to a couple of Toronto police officers a few months ago, and we were discussing target sports, and they're really not impressed the fact that they have the Saturday shoots letting people in.
I think
it's a better idea than just people going and not knowing what the heck they're doing.
I think it's a great idea.
And you can't go anywhere shooting restricted firearms anyways, but I mean, I've been growing up in kind of farm town where I'm from. You go to somebody's back 40 and, you know, you get a box of skeets and a flat of Winchester target shells from Walmart or Canadian Tire or wherever, and you go blast. I'd rather see somebody there with somebody who is or isn't, you know, that has an accreditation that say, hey, I'm a range officer and I kind of know what I'm doing. And, you know, there's somebody standing beside you to kind of help you, because there's nothing worse than watching somebody go up there and a bunch of guys just standing around and laughing at somebody, because there's no better way to scare somebody out of the sport than to watch them, hey, strap on this 300 Win Mag when you've never ever shot a gun before, or this 12 gauge or something like that, and we're just going to let you stand there and, you know what I mean, and beat it up. That's not the way we do things.
No, and too many people do that.
Exactly, and then they laugh and then get the phones out and everything, and rather than show somebody properly a proper stance or a grip or everything, you know, that actually irks me more than anything, because that's what better way to scare somebody off, never to try it again than to do that, the object of ridicule, you know what I mean?
And I've actually had a few people mention that to me, that they'll never go shooting again because they went with so-and-so when they were younger, and they put a 12-gauge with 3-inch magnum in, and it scared the heck out of them. Their shoulder got all bruised up. They never want to go shooting again. And then it's really hard to talk that person into going to the range and trying it again properly with the proper setup.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, we all know what shooting a pistol can be like. It frustrating at the best of times for anybody. Never mind if you don't have proper instruction, you know what I mean? Like, it's, I know when I took my wife, when we first kind of started dating and going together and stuff like that, and we went to the range and everything, and I didn't have a .22 pistol. I had my Smith and my M&P was one of the guns I brought, and it doesn't recoil for me, but, you know, polymer and bottom and all the rest of it was quite whippy. So I showed her, and we, you know, showed her grip and showed her stance, and okay, you got to really grip it and hold it like this, and she said, no, this isn't for me. Well, luckily for me, one of my friends was there and had a little Mark III Ruger there in .22, and he let her shoot that, and that we created a demon with that one.
Yeah.
not only at 10 yards did she knock the black out and made me look silly, but hey, you know, we created a monster that day. And then her first pistol she bought was actually when IWI made a Baby Eagle, full steel, full rail, and it handled the recoil and soaked up the recoil of 9mm quite well. And then, like I say, it was the rest of that was history. So she's very accomplished with, I'm pretty proud of her like that. And she just never ever shot a pistol before. Like she's into hunting and you know, she had her little 20 gauge and everything like that. So, but yeah, pistols was a whole new thing for her. So that she did really, really well. And I was really proud of her and a little bit loathing, like, what did I do this for? But, you know, it is what it is. You make me a fool. So,
but does she have her license?
She does. She has her restricted, and she has, everything, hunting license. She's good to go. So.
Beautiful. So she can buy you guns.
Yes. She actually, that was my, I believe,
that was
on my...
the alternative motive, wasn't it? Yep.
I did the opposite a couple of weeks ago. I took two newbies shooting, and I started them on a couple of different 22s, my 22-45 Mark III, my Smith & Wesson 22A, and they love the 22s. They actually had a riot. They'd been, both girls did really well. And they wanted to try the 9mm, so I took them outside the outdoor range because all I had was full metal jacket. Yep. and I let them put five rounds to the ground power. They hated it. They absolutely hated it because the recoil and the noise. But then shooter Tom or listener Tom had his SKS. They loved the SKS because they were sitting down. They didn't have to control the power and everything, and they did very well with the rifles. But for some reason, the 9mm just scared both the girls, which is fine because they still want to come shooting again. They just don't want to touch the 9mm. They want to shoot the 22s. That's cool.
Fire, no problem.
Some of it, they might want to become confident in the 22, and then they might.
That's like the gateway to shooting. Is the rimfire, especially pistols. Mm-hmm. If you've never ever held one before, like, man, oh man, that can be quite intimidating, especially if you have a flashy powder or if you're hand loading or whatever. You know what I mean? The boom and the flash, and yeah, it can be quite intimidating for some people. But
I know my 45, because I like my 1911s, and they scare guys too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
They don't mind the 9mm, but they don't want to touch the 45 again. It's just a little bit too much.
Yeah, funny story about that with the bang and flash. We were in the indoor range in Aurelia one night, and it was 22 bullseye night for the guys. But the 22 bullseye night for those guys is they come in, they shoot for an hour, and then it's a free for all, right? So I brought the GP100. I had just got it, and I was testing some new loads, and it was 125 grain. What did I put in there? 125 grain XTP, the Hornady. Hollow point, sorry, bullet, behind a pretty healthy load of H110. It was a magnum load, and I figured, yeah, whatever. Well, that bang and flash, it was kind of funny. I could just imagine what everybody outside was thinking, because all you'd hear was the 22s, and then all of a sudden, kaboom. Kaboom. A very accurate load, by the way, but yeah, it was just funny, because then everybody would be looking around. There's a couple of women that were there shooting, too, and they were like, what's this guy shooting? Because it was just, I called it the dragon fire load, because, yeah, it did look like a dragon was spewing flames out of the end of it.
Well, 125 is a light bullet. I can just imagine the light show that was coming out of that BC gap when you were shooting it.
Oh, it was amazing. It was one of my favorite ones, just to put a snicker on my face, right? So, one of my favorite things. That or one of my 44 Magnum loads was one, too, that's always was always a showstopper. Liked it anyways.
Oh, I missed my 44. Well, with me for guns this week, I went to Firearms Outlet. And I bought some of that new BC-made Vortec 124-grain 9mm plated stuff. And it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. I got 200 rounds
for how much?
$65 for 200 rounds.
That's not bad.
I was taking a couple people shooting. I didn't have time to go there, buy all the components, come back and reload it all. So I just went out and I spoke to Bond for a second. And it was actually all nickel-plated case, too, so I got 200 empty brass of nickel-plated to reload. And I talked to some of the customers briefly about shooting. It was funny. There was one guy I was looking at. They were selling the Grand Park Excaliburs now, and I was talking to one guy. I said, oh, yeah, I've got that same gun. I said, you're really going to like it, because he was a Southpaw. So it was perfect for him because it's got the ambi safety, all the ambi controls. And there was another guy standing beside him. He said, yeah, shooting's a really dying sport. There's not much of us around these days. And I looked at the guy and said, actually, no, it's the exact opposite. Yep. I said, over the last 10 years, I said, interest in shooting sports has exploded. Yeah. And I said, it's getting so bad you can't find a place to shoot in the GTA. I said, people are having to drive out to Silverdale or having to drive 2 hours north to Aurelia to join a club.
Yep. And then they all have waiting lists.
And they have waiting lists now, too. But I met up with Sharp 97, Benny, and his dad, Stanley, at the club. I mean, two super nice guys, and I really enjoyed meeting and shooting with them. I felt kind of old, though.
You are old.
I know, but I'm only 5 years younger than Benny's dad.
Age is just a number, my friend. That's all it is.
But two super really, really nice guys, so I really enjoyed shooting with them. And the X-Cal really seemed to like that 124 grain ammo, and it grouped really well. And I was surprised because the last factory stuff I bought, it didn't like the 124. It really preferred the 147. But I was getting really half decent groups with the lighter bullets. So I may go down and buy 500 rounds of projectiles and load up some more. And I tried Benny's. He's got one of those Baby Eagles, the CZ clones, and it's a fairly heavy gun.
Yep.
It's a CZ clone, but he's got the Israeli Israeli made
there you go.
One. So his frame, his safety's on the slide.
Yep.
So it wouldn't really be, I don't know, too proper.
That has the decocker on it as well, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yep. Yep.
So it wouldn't really be good for action pistols. You couldn't really pull it out and just, you'd really have to manipulate to get that slide going. But it grouped really well.
I'm really impressed with the way they shoot. They're a great shooting pistol, in my opinion.
Well, we weren't getting really, Benny wasn't getting really super tight. It was grouping okay, but he wasn't getting really super tight groups with it. Yep. And we had some of those...
was the ammo?
Well, no, what it was the sights. It's got the three-dot sights.
Okay. Yep.
And we
just
have...
combat sights, straight-up sights.
So what I did is I said, we have some of those erasable markers at the club for the board. And mm-hmm. I said, let me try something, Benny. He said, you can wipe this off if you want. And I blacked out his two rear sights, and I just left him the white dot just to give him... one focusing plane.
Yep.
And once I sighted out those two dots, his groups tighten right up. And he goes, oh, wow, that's much better. I keep lining up the dots. He doesn't focus on the sights. He focuses on the dots.
Yeah, the wrong thing to sight on, yep.
Yeah, so I think he's going to keep his rear sight blocked out.
Perfect. You learn something every day, right?
Well, I guess never anybody ever showed him. Because I did the same thing when I first started shooting. My Smith & Wesson 1911 had the three white dots. And that's the first thing my my instructor did. He said, come here for a second. He took a magic marker and he colored in all the dots. He goes, now try it. And, of course, my groups improved tremendously because I was focusing on the proper thing. I did bring up the USCON 41, but the service rifle guys were using the outdoor range, so I couldn't get a chance to shoot it. So... And I got some mail, but we'll talk about that later on in the show. So what did you do with guns this week, Kelly?
I had actually a friend of mine from work. We were supposed to go to the range on Sunday, but she bailed on me. This is the second time she bailed.
Oh.
So I was a little upset about it. Well, I wasn't really upset about her. I'm going, okay, we'll do it again. But, yeah, you know, she was excited about coming out to the range, but she had company again this weekend. I had another friend of mine from work talk to me about getting his pal and our pal, so I actually set him up with that, talked to him about who I took it with, and then also gave him the dates of the next, when they were running it. So I gave him all the information for that, too, so he's going to go get his pal and his our pal, because he was super excited about that.
Excellent.
Yeah, and then we went and got some pieces for reactive targets for the charity shoot. We tried those out with airsoft, but the plates didn't actually fall, so we're going to try either some different airsoft guns or we're going to try some different things to get the targets to fall. We wanted to have something that's a little bit more fun for maybe the kids' reactive targets. You know, they always like the ping, ping, ping sound and that, too.
Was it like a thick steel or...?
No, it, well, it was a thick enough steel, aluminum, grade weight, but anyways.
Just too heavy, I guess.
Yeah, the airsoft pellets, I don't think that they were heavy enough.
Yeah,
so.
Not enough.
No, we're going to trade out some of the guns and that to something with a little bit more speed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the pellets with a little bit more grain to it. There were only 12 grain pellets, so.
Well, that's pretty light.
It's pretty light, yeah. So we're going to try it again with some other stuff, but yeah, we're just, you know, thinking about things, different things for the charity shoot for the kids and that too, so.
Perfect.
And went to SFRC, got some 12 gauge ammo, because I got my BR-99 in the mail.
Excellent.
Yeah, I got that on Thursday. The only problem is I only got 2 3/4 target load. So that is part of
That'll give it a test, though, Kelly. That'll be perfect, because if you can cycle that, it'll cycle anything.
Yeah, no. Anyways.
And on that, what you're telling me, too, that originally he was going to give you one of the used media guns, and he gave you a brand new one?
Brand new one.
Excellent.
Still, everything was still in the bag, still with the oil, everything. So it was brand new. It's a nice looking gun, but yeah, we'll talk about it in the review. And went to the range on, what day is today? Today's Monday. We went yesterday. I practiced my seated shooting again, which was a little bit of a feat. I fell Wednesday night and I broke my tailbone.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I could see a seated position being a little uncomfortable then.
Yeah, it's the one that I really have to work on, though. So,
well, anyways. Yeah, maybe now's not the time to be working on it if you're hurting.
Yeah, I was able to get. It was quite interesting. I could stay in the seated position because I'm leaned forward.
Yep.
But getting down into it and getting up, and then also being able to manipulate my rifle.
That would be hard.
A little bit different.
Yeah. So, anyways, I was happy with my shooting.
That's the main thing, yep. Despite the pain in the...
pain in the butt. Yeah, so I did talk a little bit to Stacy about it. I said, we got 2 more weeks and that. We'll see how I feel with transitioning, because it's quite painful to get up and get down. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But...
Well, hopefully you heal up by then.
Yeah, I'm sure I will.
Rifleman woman. I'd really like you to see you do that this year.
Oh, she'll get it. She'll get it.
Oh, yeah, I know you will. But
I really want to, but, you know, hey, if it's in the cards, it's in the cards.
Oh, it'll be in the cards.
It'll be in the cards. We just won't put all the pressure on you this time.
Sorry, what were you saying, Jay?
Mindset. Positive mindset.
What it is it's just going to be me going to the range for just a range day. It's not me going to go and get my rifleman patch.
No, exactly. Yeah, and then go see some friends.
Yeah, that's the big part. We're going to have fun.
And drink apple pie moonshine.
Well, yeah, we'll see. Yeah. I have, when I go to the range and just have fun, that's when, but if I'm putting, you know, the pressure on myself, I can't get past that 208 or whatever it is, right?
So you're just going to have fun, and hopefully nobody puts shots in your target.
Yes, Tim Krosno, he's not coming. Anyways. and then I tried out the BR-99.
Don't even start me on him.
Yeah, tonight he was talking about... what was he talking about tonight? Somebody about shooting and how men are more accurate than women or something. And I said, hey. And he goes, at least people can hit the target. And I'm going, weren't you the one that was shooting my target from 3 targets over?
I fire you. Yeah, never mind. Like I say, enough's enough. Yep.
And didn't he also shoot the wire and knock all the targets down?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't talk to Tim about shooting.
And nobody knows who Tim is, besides the three of us.
Guns in the news. There wasn't a lot on the news this week.
No, there wasn't.
But I did find some interesting stats from Stats Canada about violent crimes in Canada, which I thought was kind of interesting. Apparently, firearms are present in relatively small portions of all police-reported violent crimes in Canada, excluding Quebec, where police report things differently. Firearm-related violent crimes account only for 2% of all victim of violent crimes in 2012, because their stats are only up to 2012. A portion that has remained stable over the past 4 years. For the large majority, 81% of victims of violent crime, there was no weapon present during the commission of the offense, and a weapon other than a firearm, such as a knife or a blunt instrument, was present in 17% of all violent offenses. So the media isn't telling you that it's all guns, and it's not. Although violent crime is generally decreasing, the rate of firearms-related violent crime is decreasing at a faster pace than violent crime that does not involve firearms. There were about 1,800 fewer victims of fire-related violent crimes in 2012 than there were in 2009, resulting in a 27% decrease in the rate of firearm-related violent crime since 2009. The Stats Canada themselves said firearms-related homicides are more likely to be related to organized crime or street gang activity than homicides committed without the use of a firearm. Over the past 2 decades, the rate of gang-related homicide committed with a firearm has been consistently higher than the rate of gang-related homicide committed with another weapon. So we all know that it's the gangs and organized crimes using the guns, not the legal firearms owner. And the firearms, actually, the interesting part is that firearm-related violent crime is more likely to be committed by a stranger than somebody that you know. While it's generally the case that a victim of violent crime knows the accused person, this did not hold true for victims of firearm-related violent crimes in 2012. The majority, which is 60% of victim of firearm-related violent crime were victimized by a stranger. Compared to that, 36% of violent crimes involving another weapon, so you know, knives, everything else. But if you want to get the updated stats from Environment Canada, we put the link in the show note, because there's all kinds of graphs. It's a really, really long piece of work, but we'll put this the links in there if you want to see what they're like, because it's quite interesting. They had so many bar graphs, it would fill up the whole show notes, but I did put the link in there if you want to go through it. And tonight, Kelly's actually doing what's new in the industry, because she got her BR-99 in the mail from Trigger Wholesale from the contest. So
yeah,
tell us about this BR-99.
Okay, so here's the details about the BR-99, and I had the CL1 model. So it's the manufacturer is Khan International Arms. It comes from Turkey, and it's a semi-automatic shotgun. It's 12 caliber. It's chambered in 3-inch magnum, and that's going to come into play when I tell you about my review. The trigger pull is, I don't know what the poundage is, and it didn't give me any stats on that as well, but it's actually fairly light. So it's one of the things I liked about it.
Would it be like stock AR-15 light? Sorry to interrupt you, Kelly, but
no, go ahead.
Would it be like stock AR-15 kind of out of the box?
Yep.
Yeah, the one I had, the one I have here is about the same.
About
5 pounds.
I'd say about 5 to 7 pounds. It's not heavy at all. Not a lot of creep to it. Not a lot of anything to it. It's really smooth. It's one of the really positive things that I found about it. So, it comes with It comes with 2 5-round box magazines. It's a 20-inch barrel, the one that I had. And, it's steel and chrome lined. What else is going on with it? It comes with 3 chokes, which is awesome. The overall length is 38 inches, so that's quite long. It does have both rear sights, so the A2 style, with a carrying handle, which is removable as well. And then for the front sight, it has the A2 style as well, and they're removable as well. Stock is fixed, A2 style polymer, and it has a rubber recoil pad. Basically, what else? I really liked it. It's $800, so it's not a bad price for the gun itself. I got it for free because I entered a contest. I think that was the best part of it.
Yeah, that's definitely the appropriate price.
When we were talking pros and cons, we were weighing the pros and cons of it. In the big pro side of it, it was
free.
It was free. Yeah. And that. So overall, I said that I really like the look of the BR-99. It looks a lot like the Daria MK-10 or the Actil MKA 1919, and those are all, you know, AR style shotguns, and they're mag fed and they're semi autos and they're badass basically. So they're a really nice looking shotgun. I like the fact that it comes with a variety of chokes, and that the frame of the shotgun, it actually fit me really, really well. I'm tall for a female, and I'm also larger for a female, so it would fit most people. Thomas's Benelli fits me great too, right, Thomas?
Yeah.
Right.
You still can have it.
Okay. Anyways, but it fit me really, really well, and I really like that about it. It had a 20-inch barrel, as I said. It weighs almost 9 pounds, so it's a little bit large, a little bit heavy, and a little bit cumbersome. And if you're thinking about 3-gun, you could still use it, but you know, you're going to have to deal with the fact that it's a little bit large and it's a little bit heavy in that as well. I like the sight alignment and the iron sights. I like those as well. And the shotgun itself was pretty accurate. Like, I was blowing holes. I cut a target right in half, and I didn't really have to try. The back sight flips down, and if you prefer just to actually use the front sights. I like the stock, and I like the recoil, but I felt like the barrel shroud itself and the rest of the shotgun was kind of plasticky. I didn't know, you know, if it was well used, that it might break easily as well. Did it heat up pretty good? I got the barrel smoking.
Well, that's, yeah.
And that, so, yeah.
Now, that's just that the base model. There are other models that you can actually get. The forend will be aluminum.
Yeah.
But the base model has the plastic handguard.
Plastic handguard, yeah.
So, oh, okay, that's right, too. Yeah, I remember reading that.
Yep. As I said, the trigger is fairly light, and it's fairly smooth, and it doesn't have a lot of creep, so I like that in it. The magazines, they only held up to 5 rounds each, so that wasn't great. And the fact is, they're fairly easy to load, but they don't drop free. So again, if you're doing 3-gun, you're going to be limited in that. And
that's not, the more that you use it, maybe they'll break in, or were they really, really stuck in there?
They were really stuck. So you really
I know why.
Go ahead.
They had to do, because the magazines were interchangeable with the, is it the 46? There's the pump action that has 10-round magazines.
Oh,
so Trigger Wholesale had to change the mag release so you couldn't use the 10-round magazines. Because the original ones, they dropped free.
That's right, yep.
And when they weren't told to do it by the CFO, but just to make it easier for themselves, they changed all the mag catches. So it won't seat and hold the 10-round magazine.
Oh, okay.
They had to change the mag catch on it.
So, yeah, you actually had to press the mag release and pull on the mag in order for it to come out. So, go ahead.
If you can magazine swap, if you were going to use it in 3-gun or something like that, and you were going to have to do a magazine change, would it be any faster than somebody, say, running low two load four method? You know what I mean?
It's probably no faster.
Well, it depends. I know some guys that can load a shotgun pretty quick, but yeah, you know what I mean? Are you wasting time or are you? So,
depending on
who knows?
Well, let's talk about shotgun shells. I bought a 2 3/4 in target load. The shotgun shells did not cycle at all, not even one. You had to clear it every time. Failed to eject, and the bolt didn't lock back at the last shot, and so basically that was not great. When I spoke to I was speaking to Adriel about it. Adriel Michaud from Slamfire. He's going to be reviewing it as well. And I said, please let me know what you found out. And he said, this is actually something that he had heard about with this shotgun, this particular one, that it's a problem. The thing is, you have to actually fire with 3-inch magnums, and you have to run through it with about 50 rounds just to break it in. So, and then you can start using the 2 3/4. So, yeah.
Something maybe you should try is if you go in, next time you go in somewhere, see if you can find a handicap load. Something that's maybe a little bit faster, like the Winchesters, and then try those in 2 3/4. And they're a little bit more snappier, like something with a little bit more speed, and then see how that works too. Like, again, once you break it in, but 53 inches, the magnums, that'll put a hurting on your shoulder probably.
Now, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
The 2 3/4, were they the cheap Federal or Winchester?
No, they were the cheap Federal.
So it's the steel case or the brass case?
They were brass.
Yeah. That's weird. Usually the
brass works, yeah.
Yeah, usually that cycles in anything. But
I've had issues with the cheap Winchester aluminum rim.
Yep.
Because they don't cycle, so I figured the brass might do it.
Wasn't so. Yeah, I was going to try to.
Everything's got a break in.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it from the point of view of maybe it was the fact when I talked to Adriel, I'm going, okay, I didn't use 3-inch, so that's probably part of it. Maybe it needed a little bit of cleaning and that too prior to. So brought it home, cleaned it. I'll buy some 3-inch and take it out again next weekend. See.
Now, before you took it to the range, did you take all the packing stuff out of it and give it a good cleaning?
Yeah, I took all the packing stuff and everything out of it and ran some stuff through it, but I didn't actually give it a really thorough cleaning. So that was probably part of the problem
could
as well.
Yeah, very could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have the
hose it with brake clean or whatever you got to do, and then give it a good scrubbing, because that stuff gets in everywhere and it can definitely hinder operation.
So as soon as we got it home, gave it a cleaning and that too. So yeah, we'll put some 3-inch through it and see how it goes. But I also said to Adriel, when you get yours, just, you know, let me know how it goes. And that, so overall, I think it was an okay shotgun. It's not your Benelli, obviously. but the price point is pretty good on it. $800 bucks, not bad. And it'd be a decent choice if you want to use it for 3-gun. I don't really think that, you know, taking it duck hunting would probably work. But anyways, it looks pretty badass, as I said. But the fact that it wasn't cycling through the 2¾,
definitely a hindrance for sure.
Yeah. With me, and Thomas and George can attest to this, if a gun doesn't work when you want it to work, I don't think that you should buy it. But, you know, it might be me.
It's possible. Like the factory packing stuff could have been in the gas system. The you could have had some on the rails, so the bolt could have slowed it down. Mm-hmm. So give it a good cleaning and take it out again before you...
Yeah. Well, it's already got a good cleaning.
Or it does now.
Yeah.
It does now. So, yeah, I'd like to see you put some in it again, maybe your first couple of magazines through it and see what happens.
Yep.
If you can go and find some of the SMB, say, sport slugs or something like that, maybe give them a couple, because they're not overpowering by any means, too, but it'd just be interesting to see if they'd cycle those.
Yeah.
Well, I guarantee she'll be at the range playing with it again this weekend.
Well, for sure. So, yeah, we're going to wait and hear with that. How that went there.
It was nice. I didn't have a sore shoulder or anything afterwards. So, you know, now we're going to put some 3-inch magnums in, see if I can end up with a bruised shoulder.
It's, you have a shotgun now. Are you complaining that you didn't have a shotgun? Now you do.
I do. I have everything that I need for a 3-gun now.
Perfect. We just have to get you out and to run a match.
Uh-huh. Well, technically, I have to finish building the AR. I need, you know,
send me a message after the show for the parts that you need, and so I'll check my stock and see if I have them for you.
Awesome. Thanks.
No problem.
Okay. That's it for my review.
Well, it's good. Thank you, Kelly. I'm glad that you like the gun, at least, and hopefully once you next weekend, it might function a little bit better for you.
Iron out the kinks.
That's what I really actually felt bad about the fact that I only picked up a couple of boxes of 2¾. I should have picked up 3-inch as well.
Well, you tried.
Yeah.
Well, next week, right? pick up a couple different brands and see how they function too.
Yep. Go to Canadian Tire where they can actually, you know, screw me.
Talk about Canadian Tire. I went in there last week. My Aguila there... It's gone through the bloody roof.
That's what I meant. Go to Canadian Tire, and you'll need to take your mortgage out.
I can go to the Farms Outlet, and they've got the brick of the Aguila, and I think it's gone up $5. It's a whole $50 for brick.
We were talking about it earlier off air. It's just nuts the way stuff's gone. But
and there's no reason for it, because they wanted eight bucks a box.
$8 a box.
Oh. For the Aguila, for the cheap stuff.
Yep, $8 a box. That's what they're charging. And again, I'm buying a brick of it, and I'm getting it for $4 a box.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's crazy. I'm holding $4 is good, but yeah, $8 is nuts. That's crazy. My lord. I'm holding my, I have a little bit of a stash of SK Standard here, and I don't shoot that for nothing.
I was going to go buy ammo there, because I was at Canadian Tire, and I said, screw this. And I drove all the way to Ajax, and I went to the Farms Outlet, because I knew I'd get a better deal.
Yep, exactly.
And actually talk to somebody that knows what they're talking about.
Exactly.
If you ever $20 in gas, sorry.
Yeah, well, no, it's not that far. It's maybe 10, 15 minutes. Plus, they got really nice guns there, too.
If you get a chance, I know Rouge River had a couple of weeks ago SK Standard, and that's my go-to stuff. That's like, it's Lapua, made by Lapua, and it is probably, in my opinion, some of the best rimfire you can buy. And it's dear, but I mean, if you can buy a brick of it and you're going to go shoot a match with it or something like that, or shoot your bullseye night and you need to do what you got to do, it's very, very, very good stuff.
How much is it?
You're going to puke when you hear this, but it's probably anywhere from $80 to $90 a brick.
Wow.
But you want to win, then you can't blame your ammo. That's for darn sure.
Well, I guess we can't complain because I got gas for 81 cents a liter. So if I got to spend a little extra money for my ammo, I guess it's a trade-off.
81 cents a liter?
Yep. Port Perry, 81 cents a liter when I went through.
Yeah, yep. In Kingston, I'm getting screwed again.
Oh, that's the thing.
Anyways.
And in the States, we're not even going to touch this one.
Oh, yeah, we're getting screwed. I hate it when Red and Stacy put up pictures of what they're paying for gas. It's just like, oh, my God. We're still paying more than double what they're paying.
Even with the exchange. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So this week's topic is modifying your guns. So basically, we're going to talk a little bit about Jay, about the different guidelines for the different competitions, and we'll cover your trigger weights, your grips, adhesives, unfair advantages, and about disabling a safety device. So Jay shoots IPSC and IDPA.
Yes,
so we're going to just basically cover the guidelines. Now, if you get into a sport, you're going to have rules you're going to have to follow. So it's important that you follow the rules or you're going to be DQ'd and your gun's not going to be allowed in the match. So for IPSC, for example, Jay, if you're shooting production, how does production work compared to, say, standard division in IPSC?
Okay, so production is pretty much is 9 millimeter, or you can run minor loads. So that has to meet a power factor, a certain power factor. And it's a lot lighter than, say, standard division. And what a lot of guys do is production is basically you can go to your local gun shop, you can buy a Glock 17, you can buy a Smith & Wesson M&P, your off-the-shelf kind of generic guns, and there's a division for it. And they're pretty much supposed to be run the way they get them out of the box. You can upgrade your sights, you can upgrade maybe your grip, or, you know, as long as they're... They fit in the box, right? The standard box that you fit it in. Trigger weight is pretty much has to be, for the most part, as close to stock as possible. You can get It's got to be stock out of the box. So if you're running a Glock 17, you can't put the Zev trigger in, or you can't put anything like that in it. Otherwise, you're going to get bumped into standard division, and then you're going to have to score in minor. Which you're not going to meet the 135 power factor or whatever you got to meet for standard division.
Now, you still will have guys that will go out and say, we'll get, say, a CZ-75 or 85, and then try to be sneaky and drop in, say, a Shadow trigger kit into it.
They might, but that is going to get, it's cheating, right?
Yeah, it is cheating.
It's cheating. So if you get away with that at your local club match or at a level one or level two, hey, whatever, you know, if there's nobody there that actually checks your guns, but you're definitely not going to get away with that at, say, the Nationals or a big match. And even if somebody is suspecting of something, they can pull your gun apart. The match director can pull your gun apart and take it off for testing anytime they really want to anyways if somebody suspects that. So you'll get caught eventually.
Trevor was saying that it was at SummerSlam. He was actually he was the one that was testing the guns.
Yep.
And he'll actually have trigger pull scales and drop scales and to see if your gun qualifies. So if you're going to shoot for production, you're best just to leave your gun the way it came from the factory.
Yep. You can upgrade your sights as long as, like I say, they fit in the boxes. Like we talked about it earlier in the introduction and stuff like that. If you got to black out your sights, or if your setup, say you have you should want to shoot a couple of different divisions, and you say you like Savigny sights, the Warren Tactical sights, you put them on all your guns. There's nothing. You're not breaking the rules anywhere like that. There's no unfair advantage. It's just your sighting system's a little bit different, right?
Right. So does IPSC and IPA more or less have the same divisions as far as being production, standard, open?
They do and they don't. IDPA has the stock service pistol, which again is pretty much out of the box and run what you brung pretty much. They can get into enhanced service pistol. There's no real caliber restrictions either in SSP. You can run a 40, you can run a 9, you can run a 45 as long as it came out like the Glock 21. You can use the Glock 21 actually in three different divisions. You can use it in stock service pistol, you can use it in enhanced service pistol, and you can use it in custom defense pistol as well. because there's five divisions in IDPA. There's stock service pistol, there's enhanced service pistol, there's stock service revolver, there's enhanced service revolver, and then there is the CDP, which is custom defense pistol.
Okay, so if you're doing custom defense,
which is 45 ACP, a lot of 1911 shooting CDP.
So in that division, can you have a lightened trigger as compared to production?
That, if your trigger comes factory, in IDPA, see, this is where it gets funny. In IDPA, you can have, as long you can put any aftermarket part or factory part in it, even if, so you have, we'll say, a Kimber. We'll take Kimber, for example. Say, like, a stainless Target 2 or something like that, that kind of, and it has an adjustable trigger from factory, right? Mm-hmm. So you can adjust the trigger so it's a lot lighter, and you're not breaking any rules there.
However, if you switch out the trigger for something that's lighter, you are?
Yeah, if, like, say you're going to put in a Nighthawk or an Ed Brown or an aftermarket one that didn't come factory, in that particular model, say you're shooting a Smith & Wesson and you throw an Ed Brown trigger kit or something in it, that's not right. You can't do that.
Yeah, that would be cheating then.
That's correct. But if you're running a Kimber, say just a regular Target 2, and you put a stainless Target 2 trigger in it that had, or from a Raptor or something like that, that's using Kimber parts, that's legal.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's a little bit hard and monkey to understand sometimes, but, just read it up, and then everybody's, in my experience with it, everybody will help you out. If you have any kind of questions or anything like that, you can really, really, really get a lot of help if you reach out in your various forums or anything like that. There's a lot of good information out.
So something like, say, Open Division, anything goes?
Yeah. You have to meet a certain power factor there as well. You shoot a 9mm major. The funny thing is that if I go to an IPSC match and I'm shooting in production, my hand load's 9mm, and the open guys, there's an open guy in my squad or a couple of open guys that are running 9mm, I won't pick up any brass, because 9mm uses the 919 case, but it's just loaded really, 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 really heavy. I won't pick up any of the other brass, because then it's a lot more prone to stretching and a lot more prone to failure that way.
Yeah, definitely. Because
a 9mm load is quite hot. It's very, very, very hot. You wouldn't be able to shoot it in anything. It's even over a plus B plus load 9mm.
Yeah, because they're using they've got massive comps for the guns and everything else.
They're a lot more. Yeah, they're built for it.
So in the production, like, say, for example, if you're shooting, say, you've got a Glock, your grip has to stay the same. You can't go out and have it stippled.
You can't stipple a grip, but you can have a little bit of skateboarding tape on it.
I was just going to ask you, and you put the skateboard tape, or you...
Yeah, tape is legal because it's removable, and it doesn't affect anything. But if you stipple it, it didn't come from the factory that way.
What about the spray adhesives that they have? Are you allowed to put a spray adhesive if it's in production?
I do believe you are. I do believe you are. I'd have to. I can't answer that one 100%, but I know the open guys run it a lot, and I'm not 100% sure if you can use that in production or not.
And you can't add any weight to the gun. Like you, I know the Glocks have a hollow point in the back of the grip where you can actually put a weight in there. So you can't do that in production, but you can add weight to the gun, say, if you're enhanced.
Yep, that's in standard in IPSC, yes. If you add there's tungsten guide rods and there's everything like that, you can add too as well. And you can, that'll put you in enhanced service pistol in IDPA.
Okay.
Okay, cool. I know, for example, I used to shoot a lot of PPC. And yep. PPC, your trigger pull, actually, I was reading the rules, it says that you can't have an over-travel stop, but everybody I know that shoots PPC has an over-travel stop.
Yep.
But you can't use any adhesive, you can't use skateboard tape, you can't use anything to enhance the grip on the gun, which I can understand because you're not running from stage to stage to stage like you are an action pistol. So it's not a big advantage to have a better grip on the gun, because the only time the gun's, when you change stages, when you go from right hand to left hand, your gun is just switching hand, but you're not running around from stage to stage, so it's not as important. I remember I did a big match, And as soon as they saw the skateboard tape on my 1911, they removed it.
Yeah.
Because I forgot about it, right? Oh, okay. But you can't use that. Another thing that I've seen that people do is, especially in open, they will pin the grip safety, see, on a 1911.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you could do that in open, but you're not allowed to do any modification like that if you're doing, say, in classic. It has to.
I don't shoot classic, so I couldn't tell you 100% like about that. But I know in open, a lot of guys do pin their safeties, the grip safeties. Yeah, I don't know if it's legal or not in to shoot, say, in classic. I honestly don't know that one. It's not a division I shoot in, so
unless you're actually shooting in that division, I would really dissuade anybody.
Yeah, but I wouldn't disable a safety device. That's just me, though.
No, I wouldn't either. Yeah. If you're allowed to, as part of the rules, if it's allowed to pin it, I know a couple of guys have actually had a safety put in that's flush, that's meant to be pinned. They take out the factory and they put it just a straight flush so you don't have the grip safety on it. But disabling a safety device is never a good idea.
No, like that, you won't be able to run. Like in, I know for a fact in my M&P, it still currently has a magazine safety in it.
Mm-hmm.
And now, when I first started getting into IDPA, everybody, just take it out. I can't take it out because then I won't be able to allowed to run that gun at all. They won't let you run it at all in IDPA if they find out that it has. On the newer ones, if you look on the newer models of the M&P, it says this model is able to fire. Without a magazine, like you said, to say that on the slide, mine doesn't say that, so that right away that they know, this one has a magazine safety. So, it's another step, and it's a little bit of a pain in the butt, but I usually always have an empty magazine on me anyways, so when I unload and show clear, right, slide forward, hammer down, you gotta notify your safety officer right away that, hey, this thing has a magazine safety, so here's an empty magazine, you verify that, when the slide's down, you put the magazine in, click, and holster. Another step, but it is what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if your gun actually, as long as it says on it, it will fire without a magazine, then you don't have a magazine disconnect.
That's correct. Yep.
Now, the other problem, too, is that if you do disable a safety device on a gun, and say, for example, you get out of the sport and you sell the gun, then you're creating a liability issue for yourself and for the person that you actually sold it to.
Mm-hmm.
Same with for trigger weights. I mentioned this, and we did a show 4 or 5 months ago about buying a used PPC gun.
Yeah.
And these things, my PPC gun had a super ultralight trigger. And when I sold it to John, I said, look, this is what you got to do with this gun. I would put the over travel screw back in it, and I would fire double action only, or take it to a gunsmith and have a little more trigger weight put back on it, because it literally has a hair trigger. If somebody has never fired that gun before and they pick it up and they go put the finger in the trigger guard, it's going to go off.
Yep.
So I would never let anybody fire the gun unless I made them dry fire it first. Okay, this is how you have to do it, because if you just touch that trigger the wrong way, it's going to go off. So if you do disable a safety device, or if you do an ultra light trigger, don't sell it to somebody who doesn't know anything about firearms, because
that's always a good question to ask somebody what you're. And I try to do the same thing too with whoever. If I do sell a firearm to somebody too, it's like, hey, what's your experience with firearms? Especially if you're selling something that's maybe has a couple of extra little modifications done to it, like a 10/22 or something like that, that it's got a Volkortsen trigger kit or the hammer or spring kits and stuff like that. Just say, what's your experience with stuff? Because if you're going into, if you have to fix something, or if you have to, troubleshoot if you're having issues, it's always good to know that there is some stuff in it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That this stuff isn't factory.
Well, speaking of factory stuff, if you do say, for example, have a 10/22, or if you have a Ruger single six where you've put a spring kit or a trigger kit in it, and you have warranty issues, when you send that gun to Ruger Firearms to repair, the first thing they're going to do is take those non-factory parts out of your gun, put in factory parts, and you're not going to get them back.
Exactly. Yeah. So if you have any issues, you send them back with all the factory parts in it.
Yeah. So if you you know, especially somebody that has the old Ruger single actions that have that don't have the transfer bar. You send that gun into Ruger, they're going to do the safety modification and send it back with a transfer bar, but they will give you the original parts back.
Yeah, because they were factory parts.
Because they were factory parts and for the collector value of the gun. So if you put, you know, even if you just put a Volkskorts and sear in your 1022 and you send it in, you're not getting it back. So put it back to factory specs before you send it in.
Exactly. And have somebody, if you don't have any kind of, if you pull something apart and you say to yourself, wow, there's a lot of moving parts in there, maybe that job's not for you, and maybe you should go and get somebody that knows what they're doing in, with it too, because there's been some stuff I've seen over the years and everything like that. Well, I just put this in. You know what I mean? Like, it, you know what I'm talking about. You've been on the line.
I've done it.
You go click. Okay, what happened there? You know, oh boy, what did I do? There's nothing worse than that. And if, I mean, I've had it happen too, and I know, you know, I'm not afraid to pull something apart, especially firearm related, and put it back together. You know what I mean?
I had a Smith & Wesson Model 59 double action pistol.
Yep.
And I have the Reader's Digest. Not the Reader's Digest. I've got a book for the Explore Diagrams and Take Apart and everything, and so I can take it apart and put it back together. Yep. And I took this thing apart, and I'd never taken apart a double action pistol before. Mm-hmm. And I'm putting it back together. I'm saying, this is way beyond me right now. I put it all in the bag.
And you took it.
And I took it to the gunsmith. And he looked at me. He says, well, he said, if I can put it back together and it works, $25. He goes, if it doesn't work, I'm not charging you anything. And he did. He put
it
back.
He took it down real good then.
He put it back in front of me and only charged me $25.
I would have charged you double.
Yep. Exactly. I'm lucky I have a pretty good resource. If something's over my head and I'm pretty good where, I'm not going to touch this one. I got tactical ordnance is like down not very far away from me. And the guys over there, they're the only ones that'll let touch my stuff. That's for sure. So I'm pretty lucky to have them right there. And he's usually pretty good for turnaround time.
Well, I'm usually pretty good at figuring things out, but things have to go in a certain order, and that spring has to be put in this way, and this has to be put in this way. And the gun was like 40 years old, so I just, you know, admitted that I made a mistake, and I just went to see the gunsmith, and he smiled, said, no problem, I can do it for you. But
conventional striker fire pistons and stuff like that, I have no issue with. Like, that's straightforward for me, but peeling something that's old, a part that's older than I am, and looking at it and going, like, have you ever taken apart to like a Model 94 or something like that?
Or the lever actions?
Yeah.
I know with the Marlin, you need a special tool to put it back together, and they don't sell it to you. They only sell it to gunsmiths.
Exactly. Yeah, so you can take it apart, but you can't
put it back together. I made that mistake too.
Yeah. There's, when I was about 23, 24. Oh boy, is there a lot of parts in here.
I took it to the gunsmith and I said, I can't get it back in. He goes, because it's a special tool you need and they won't sell it to you. They only sell it to gunsmiths. So that actually cost me $40 to get that one put back together when I was about 23 or 24.
Yep. You know what, though? It's $40 well spent.
It was.
There's nothing more frustrating to doing that is peeling something apart and going, oh boy.
So if you are going to take a gun apart...
Yeah, working on vehicles, it was the same thing. What did I just get into?
And you realize that 1 hour job is going to be an 8 hour job by the time you're done.
Coffee on, because we're going to be here for a while.
That's usually the way it is, isn't it? One thing leads to the next.
It's a compounded, Murphy shows up and it's a compounded show of all
new
production.
It's not a bad idea. It is to go out and I forget who does it, Taffin? But there is a gentleman that you can get almost any exploded diagram of rifles or shotguns or pistols. And he's an experienced gunsmith. He tells you what tools you need in the beginning. And he gives you step-by-step instructions on taking it apart and then step-by-step instructions on putting it back together. And I wish I had it when I took apart that Model 59, because after that, I went and bought that book.
Yeah. There is good resources, that's for sure.
They are out there.
Where to look.
Just don't start doing home gunsmithing. If you don't know what you're doing, take it to a gunsmith.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Somebody knows what we're doing.
Yeah, because not only are you risking yourself and your face and your eyes, but you're risking the guy beside you too on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's and then again, it leads to liability issues, right?
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's a judge on this planet that it would look, if God forbid, if something ever ever was to happen, and you could look at somebody in their eyes and say, "Well, who modified that thing to do that?" And then I did. Well, what accreditation do you have? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
YouTube.
Yeah, the guy on YouTube said it'd be fine. The internet told me so it has to be right.
I went to YouTube University. They told me to do it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Speaking of judges and all that, like up in Canada, we don't carry and that the guns that we do modify, right? But down in the States, it's a huge issue. If you're carrying a gun and you've modified it with taking safeties off and lightening the trigger and all that, and you do end up using it, that could be used against you.
Oh, yeah. Even hand loads. If you make your own bullets, there's been cases where the prosecutor's going after you for making more deadlier bullets if you're not using factory stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
a whole rigmarole and not what to do.
Yep. Yeah. So.
So if you're not sure, ask.
Yeah, for sure. Or take it to somebody competent.
So let's move it on to upcoming events, Kelly. What's the first thing we have on upcoming events this week?
The Toronto Sportsman Show. It's going to be March 16th to the 20th. It's at the International Center in Mississauga. Both the CSSA and the CCFR will be having booths. And we're going to go, so Thomas and George and I will be dropping by to see our sponsors that are going to be there as well.
Well, if you guys are there on Thursday, come see me at the ORA booth, because I'll be there at the ORA booth with
Thursday.
Oh, you're going Thursday?
Yeah, I got volunteered to help run the booth, the ORA booth, so I will be there.
We're working. We're not going to be going to the Saturday.
The ORA booth will still be there, and one of your other favorite podcasters will be there too. So, I think he's working the booth. So,
Is Brian working Thursday too?
No, Brian's not working Thursday. Brian's going to work Wednesday and Saturday, I believe.
Excellent. We'll see Brian on Saturday then.
Yeah, we'll be there. I'll be handing out information and stuff like that about the upcoming service rifle and what the ORA has to offer. So,
excellent.
Come and check it out.
Can I ask you a question about service rifle?
Sure.
Is there going to be a pistol part of it now? That's what I was hearing.
There is a CASAC in for the Nationals, but there isn't. We don't have nothing right now set up for a pistol, like an entirely pistol portion, like a pistol discipline. There's nothing really in the works right now, other than what we have in CQB and I believe in service as well. Matches. So I haven't really heard of any rumblings of that even wanting to start right now. We're just trying to get service is established, but we're just, doing our thing with that.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. Well, the next one up, Mr. Uzi advised us a couple months ago that Got Your Six is happening in Edson, Alberta on July 16th and 17th at the Longest Mile Range. And they're raising money for Wounded Warriors. So there's a link in the show notes if you want to go out there. He sent us a video. They sent a drone up over this range. It is massive.
Beautiful.
It's huge. Beautiful. I think it's over. It's almost
a mile long. It's a mile long.
Oh, I'd love to go out there.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. And anybody that's shooting that is that's a great event and a great cause.
It should be. Actually, I think. Frosty might be going out there because he lives out in Alberta.
There's a Facebook group for that too. So if anybody that wants to go and maybe even donate a little something or whatever for that cause, it's a great cause.
Oh, excellent, excellent. So the charity shoot registration is now open, and Kevin put together a much better link for us. Kelly.
Yeah, he did. So what it is just a. It's a, I don't know what you call it, a Google document. That's what it is. And you just have to click on that, fill it out, and it automatically will send an email to me, and it'll automatically send an email to you. And it says that it's coming from Kevin, but it's actually coming from us. It'll fill in our spreadsheet and that as well, and it's much easier. You don't have to send separate emails. All you do have to do is send your payment as well as fill out that Google document. So
it'll make things a lot easier.
That is going to be a one heck of a fun event, I think.
Oh, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah,
I think that with everybody that's coming, it'll be fun.
No, there's no reason why it shouldn't be. There'll be antics and tomfoolery for sure.
Yep.
I'm not touching that one. So yeah. On the Friday, we have our day course, Fire Art Solution. That's limited to 14 people, so get your registration in soon.
Great. Mm-hmm. I met him out in Restigouche at Trevor's house last summer when we took... The para course. He's a very good guy.
Oh,
very
super nice guy.
Yeah. Great shooter, too.
He is.
And he knows what he's talking about.
Oh, he does.
So that'll be on the Friday. And mm-hmm. The cost of the course is $50. Normally, RJ's fees are a lot lesser, but we have to rent the range. So the Saturday, we're getting the range given to us, but Friday, we have to rent it. So the cost for that course is $50. The charity shoot is $35. And that's open now. And for $35, you get your, if you get for the pre-registration, what's the date for the free t-shirt cutoff, Kelly?
May the 1st.
So if you get your registration by May 1st, you get a free t-shirt. And everybody that qualifies, you actually get a ticket to win the door prize this year, which is a USCON Model 41 shotgun. And then on the Sunday, we have a new shooter Canada, or a new shooter Canada, I guess it'd be charity shoot squad. So if you want to do a level 3 IPSC match, there's a sign-in it's $150 for level 3.
That's actually cheap for a level 3.
It is. I know somebody complained to me about it and said, you ever shot a level 3 before? I've seen them go up to like $250. So for $150, they might have a decent prize table. But if you sign up through the charity shoot page, you actually get guaranteed on the squad signed up for anybody, for the even open up to anybody else. So if you want to shoot it and you're out there, we do have a link on the page for that as well.
Yep.
Not too many level threes, especially in Ontario. That's for darn
not
sure.
Not in Ontario. Yeah, yep. And they are taking outside Ontario. So they're taking Quebec, New Brunswick, whoever, and that as well. So, yeah.
And can I announce what I got in the mail?
Sure. Go ahead. You got it.
Okay.
It's week in announcement. We weren't going to announce it until we actually had it in our little hands.
Trigger Wholesale. Not only did they give us the Model 41 as the door prize, Mark from Trigger Wholesale messaged us afterwards. He said, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm going to give you another gun, too. So as of today, we also have a BR-99 shotgun up for draws at the charity shoot.
So you know what? Ignore my review.
It's a new gun and it has to be worked out.
Yes.
We also have, can we announce Mr. Uzi too?
No.
Okay. So there's another one coming, but we're not talking about it yet. Exactly. So there's two guns. You get a gun. Everybody gets a ticket for the door prize. And at the charity shoot, you can buy a ticket and you can win the BR-99 shotgun. So thank you very much to Mark from Trigger Wholesale for donating two guns for us to raise money for Soldier On. We really appreciate it.
Great cause and a great company, that's for sure. Thank you to him.
Oh, I also heard from Chris from NSA Guns. Yes. My grandpa was in.
Awesome. That's
so
awesome.
I should
news.
Be in my 22 this week too, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
So you can send your registration to newshootercanada@gmail.com or just go to the link that Kevin put up.
The link's pinned at the top of the Facebook page. What we're going to do is we're also going to try and put it onto our website too, because we know that some people aren't on Facebook. So
That's true.
That's a good idea.
Yep. So, but if you are on Facebook, just let us know and we'll add you to the Facebook page for the event too.
And also the AR petition is now at 20,300 signatures. We'll put a link. The AR petition is online. So please, we're trying to get the AR change from restricted to non-restricted. There's also a property rights a petition that's online, and we forgot to put it in the show. We'll ask George to put it in, which is just as important, because if you get property rights in our charter, firearms are property. So that'll help us both ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just updated it. It's 20,800 signatures.
Oh, excellent. So, listener email. What's the first email there, Kelly? And we'd ask Jay to do it, but he can't see the show notes on his phone because he's actually outside in his car right now because his little one's sleeping. He doesn't want to wake them up, so he's not with us in the house. He's with us outside, and he can't see the show notes, so we'd have Jay help us with the emails.
Well, we got a couple of emails. So the first one is from, it's actually from Mr. Uzi. So it says, my shout out to you guys. Hey gang, just wanted to say thank you for your shout out and words of kindness to Tiana. I played it to her. So it was not last episode's or the episode before. It was the episode before that. I told her she was famous now on the internet. Anyway, she took home a team silver and a personal gold at the Alberta Winter Games today in Medicine Hat.
Excellent.
Cheers.
Excellent.
From the Uzis. So she even did better last weekend, didn't she? At the Junior Olympics, she took home personal gold and her team won silver as well.
Excellent.
Awesome. Good for her.
So that was awesome. She did really, really well. So congratulations to her.
So that's one daddy that won't have to worry about his little girl growing up because she can take care of herself.
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Physically.
He's very, very proud of her. It's awesome to see him. Every 15 minutes, he's updating. She won again!
She won again.
In 40 seconds.
Proud papa.
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah. So, do you want to read the next one?
Yep, next one we have is from Sarah, a.k.a. Sierra Slinger. Hello, New Shooter NSR.
Radio. But
New Shooter Radio.
New Shooter Canada. Anyway,
first of all, I'd like to thank you for the shout-out. Mike and I are so excited to be bringing our new shooter into the world, so they're going to have a baby, whether it's SAS, IDP, or an IPSC competitor. They don't care. They just want a child that shoots. She goes, although I'm sad that I won't be able to actually shoot this year at the charity shoot. I heard I can still buy a ticket, and I'd just like to register as a normal participant. So sure, you can buy a ticket, help support us. You'll still get your t-shirt and your draw ticket for the USCON 41. She says, thanks again. And then she have a PS. Kelly, since I can't shoot at the charity shoot, I'd still love to help out any way I can. Just let me know if there's anything I might be able to do. I'm also volunteering as a DT for the weekend if needed. So yes, Sarah, we would love your help because we're going to have to do sign up and all kinds of stuff. So we would really appreciate any help that you'd like to give us.
As long as I get to hold the baby.
I'm trying to think. No, when she do? Will she actually have the baby by then?
No, she probably won't. So, yeah, DD. Yep, she's going to be the DD, and we'll hang out too because she's lots of fun. And yeah, we'll have fun.
So we'll have two designated drivers, me and Sarah.
All right, you'll have a third one, just probably two.
Oh yeah, you don't drink either.
I don't. No.
And do you want to do the Facebook comment from Jeff?
No, why don't you do the Facebook comment from Jeff?
I'm assuming Jeff is the one who originally came out with the comment for the new shooter drinking game. So he says he's got a new one now, a new drinking game. Anytime anyone says, they have to take a drink.
I think I only did that twice tonight, so we're doing all right.
Yeah.
But Ken's not on this podcast.
No, I don't.
Hey. I think he was referring to me.
Yes.
I do it quite a bit, so.
I didn't put in the rest that he said, but.
Yeah, last time I did an interview on Modern Rifleman Radio, Brian and I were, what were we running on? A couple hours of sleep, and then we did a course, Phase Line Green course in Grenville, and we were pretty tired when we did that. I think I was umming and ahhing, and. Oh, my Lord, it was not a real interesting podcast or interview for me, anyways.
We used to have a dispatcher at work, and a driver would ask him a question, and he'd go, nonstop. So finally, I went up to him and said, Al, why don't you just say stand by and then think of what you're going to say?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes, yeah, the mouth gets running, and you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, the brain doesn't catch up.
Any iTunes reviews, Kelly?
No iTunes reviews. I had a look as of yesterday. Didn't look tonight. But, yeah, nothing as of yesterday. That's it.
What about Facebook?
651, so keep liking, keep sharing.
Oh, we're going to kick. Thanks for the support. We're going to kick the rednecks
okay.
in.
Yeah. Okay. As I said, every time you mention it, they get more. You know that, right?
No, no. Actually, he's going down.
Is he?
Yeah.
Serious?
We're kicking butt. I bet you by Monday, Wednesday or Thursday, we're well past the Canadian redneck.
Okay. So keep liking us, keep sharing us, and also, you know, with iTunes, to download, subscribe, and send us a review or two, because we like those too.
We do.
The more that we get, the more that we're noticed on Facebook. And also, sorry, not Facebook, iTunes, but Facebook, we like to get noticed there too.
And we appreciate the writer, all the letters, all the Facebook comments. You know, you comment on Facebook or write the show, we'll be more than happy to use it on the air. Closing comments, Kelly?
Well, I was going to talk about the Ontario Regulation Act, but I see that you put some info in there. So do you want to talk about it or no?
Well, we actually, I know right now that the CFI has a letter writing campaign going with the CFO and the government of Ontario to try to have this piece of legislation removed. They came up with Bill 101 a year before the Firearms Act kicked in. So Ontario retailers are actually legally obligated to record your information. The funny thing is, I was at, but you're only required to give your firearms license. There's nothing in the regulation that says you have to show.
Well, that's why I actually copied the portion. What we're talking about right now is we're talking about the Ontario Regulation Act in regards to selling ammunition, because we talked about it last week a bit, and I was looking around to see about the whole fact about whether they had to be 18 or not and what they had to hold in order to sell this ammunition, and this is one of the pieces that I pulled out of the Ontario Regulation Act, because I thought it was interesting about the record keeping. Remember you were talking about, well, you give them their PAL and then you're not obligated to give them your other information? Well, actually, according to the Regulation Act, you are.
You're required to give them the information, but you're not required to give them the ID. Because this came out before.
Right.
Came out. Now, the funny thing is, I was actually at Crappy Tire a couple days ago, before I went up, and they have the regs up on the wall, but then the CFO has a little footnote on the bottom saying that you are not required to give your address when purchasing ammunition, and a little excerpt saying, but the store may ask if it's their store policy. So this,
well, of course it's their store policy, because they're required to by the Ontario Regulation Act.
But the only one that actually enforces ammunition. That is Wally World. I've had arguments where they want a second piece of ID, and I say, well, no, you just, here's my ID. If you want my address, it's 777 Memorial Avenue, Orillia, Ontario.
What they're doing is they're confusing it with the act itself.
Yeah.
Because they are asking for your address. It does say name, age, and address of purchaser in the Firearms Act.
It does. Well, not Firearms Act, it's Bill 101.
No, sorry. The
Ammunition Act.
Right, the Ammunition Act. Sorry, you're right.
So the CFO is not requiring the stores to take your address.
But, two different acts.
But they're saying if it's their store policy, they may ask you for it. So
they're supposed to record the date and time of purchase, name, age, address of purchaser, type of identification and permit purchased, and their serial numbers. So that would be your PAL. Right?
Yep.
The caliber and the quantity of ammunition purchased. When this is from the Ontario Regulation Act from 1994, C-20, Section 4, 1, and it was updated in 2009, C-33, Schedule 9, Section 1-4.
You did that all right, man. You did that.
See, Wally World, you'll give them your PAL, then they'll ask for your driver's license. I say, no,
yeah,
I'm not required to give you my driver's license. Well, I need to know what your address is. I say, well, sure, 777 Memorial Avenue, Orillia, Ontario. You can call the CFO and they'll tell you what my address is if you want it. The reason that the CFI started this letter-writing campaign, and I can tell you from history, when I lived in Scarborough, the Canadian Tire near me got broken into three times, mm-hmm. and they did sell firearms at that store back then. Three times a logbook was stolen, and everybody in the logbook got broken into. except for me, because I never put my address. I put 777 Memorial Avenue. And they actually got charged with unsafe storage, and they lost their ammo license and the firearms license.
Right. Yep. They will. Okay. I thought I'd just actually put that in because we talked about it last week.
Yeah, right? Oh, it's good. It's good in there. Mm-hmm. So join one of our advocacy groups, such as the CSSA, the CCFR, or the CFA, or even the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters has been active lately. I know there was an issue with noise bylaws and everything out in Cobourg a couple of months ago, so the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters have been active. The CSSA is now a sponsor for the podcast charity shoot. The CCFR is a sponsor. The CFI is a sponsor. I actually contacted the Ontario Federation of Anglers Hunters and the NFA and asked them to be involved, but to date, I have not heard back from either group.
Yeah, we'll go and hit them up at the show.
Yeah, well we're going to be down for everybody at the show.
Might as well do it face to face. Nothing better than that.
It's really hard to say no to somebody face to face. You ever notice that? Anyways,
except the NFA aren't going to be there.
And again, I went on and I looked, and they said that they were going to be. Anyways.
Oh, excellent, okay. Excellent. Well, I guess Darlene pushed some buttons in because I know what she was running it last year, so hopefully she'll get it up again this year.
Yeah, we're registered as media, anyways. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
That's okay.
We're legit. We have business cards and everything. Like, it's awesome. Go ahead.
I'm surprised my voice is held out for the show. So have a listen to some of our other podcasts, such as the Reloading Podcast, Slamfire Radio, Modern Rifleman Radio, The Arms Couple Project, Action Shooting Radio, The Arms Squirrels Project, Geeks, Gadgets, and Guns. And thanks for the shout-out last week, guys. We really enjoyed it. We thank you for it. And, of course, Jazz has Calibre Quebec Radio back online, and they can get that from our webpage.
Yeah, we are right now. We're sponsoring him and getting it up and running, so they can go into CQR. It's CQR at newshootercanada.ca. So yeah.
Another one I actually like is the Firearms Cafe, Tony Brown, and he has another one called the Armed Ape, which is more of a review, but the Firearms Cafe is more of a shooting podcast. So have a listen to Tony. Actually, I enjoy Tony's shows also. And George had a shout-out on here. My shout-out this week goes to our Australian listeners. Let's see if we can get an Australian iTunes review. Mm-hmm. Apparently, we've got listeners all over the world.
We do. I go on every week and check them out. We haven't had any from Australia, so maybe there's one out there that'll like to send us a review on iTunes.
Okay, so you have any shout-outs, Kelly?
I would like to say thank you to Jay for coming on, but I'd also like to say thanks for Kevin for coming on. Sorry,
Kevin.
It didn't work out. And I also want to say thank you to Trigger Wholesale for sending me the BR-99. Thanks, Mark.
We really appreciate it.
We really appreciate it.
I haven't played with it yet because it's going to remain on fire to the charity shoot, but I like it.
This is my shout-out. Just hold on. Yeah, thanks, Mark, for sending it and also for sending the other firearms or guns for the charity shoot. I know that everybody will want to actually win these, so, you know, sign up, enter,
come on,
a chance to win them.
Yeah. Come on, shoot some ammo.
Yeah. And I promise that I will try the 3-inch this week. Go buy some. Anyways.
Any shout-outs, Jay?
Well, just thanks for having me on, and that's pretty much it. Just spreading the good word.
We appreciate you sitting in your car for an hour and a half with us.
Oh, it's all good. Yeah, it's all good.
Because it's not very warm. Sorry.
No, it is. But it hits Canada. What do you want? It's February.
My shout out is to Sharp 97 Benny and his dad, Stanley. I really enjoyed meeting you guys and shooting with you. And Stanley, send in your paperwork for your pal. He took the course and the test. He hasn't submitted it yet.
Has he taken his ARPAL?
Yeah. He's done everything. He just hasn't submitted it.
Oh, okay.
And they both shoot Silver
Dog. Get on it.
Sorry, Jay?
Get on it. Get on it.
Yeah. He needs to get on it.
Oh, I'm sure Benny will push him on it.
weird.
Well, it's great that you got a chance to meet Sharp 97.
Well, he's going to sign up for RJ's course. He's really looking forward to that.
Yeah, you said he was. So
He's really pumped on that. He won't be able to make the charity shoot, but he's definitely going to make the RJ course. We're looking forward to that.
The RJ course is the week before, correct? I apologize. I wasn't listening when you...
No, it's on the Friday.
It's on Friday before.
Yeah, it's the day before.
Day before. So we got RJ Friday, charity shoot on the Saturday, and then the IPSC squad is on the Sunday.
Awesome.
Unfortunately, I was speaking to Pat Harrison. He won't be able to make the squad because him and Amy are going on holidays on the Saturday, on the Sunday. So he might make the shoot, but he won't make the IPSC squad.
Depending on what he was shooting anyways, that'll give everybody else a chance to maybe have a chance.
This is true. Maybe he won't show up on the charity shoot and might have a chance to win.
Don't hold your breath. Pat's a hell of a nice guy and a hell of a shooter.
Good shoot.
Well, he's a great shooter. Yeah. I'm a Pat Harrison fanboy.
I've been lucky to take a few courses with Pat, and the man forgot more stuff than I probably will ever know about firearms, that's for sure.
Oh, he's a super nice guy. I've met Pat a couple times. Super nice guy.
And he's not one to hold out anything to you for any trade secrets or anything. He'll show you how to do it. That's for sure. If you have a chance, train with him. Train with him.
Yeah, I'd like to.
He wants you to improve too. So
practice, competition, and everything. He's probably one of the best guys I know. That's for sure.
Hey, have you noticed that we updated our charity shoot stuff with Action Shooting Radio on it that we forgot? Sorry, Pat.
Anyway, well, I was talking to Pat. I was telling him about the IPSC squad. That's why I know that him and Amy are going on holidays. And I went to send him the poster that Kelly had made up, and I go, I look at it, and there's no Action Shooting Radio. I said, shoot, I can't send him that. His podcast's not in it. So yeah. I'm like, Kelly, we forgot somebody.
Yeah.
So now Action Shooting Radio is included in the podcast. Who else was I was speaking to? International Liberty or Death podcast, which I didn't know about. I guess it's half of it's Canadian. They're going to be at the charity shoot too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He messaged me on Facebook, said he's going to go. I'm not sure if Andrew's coming from Andy Vincent from the Patriot podcast.
Yep.
He wasn't actually involved when we started it all up, so he's more than welcome to come. We'd love him to be part of the event, but we haven't really heard anything from him. So
he's been a busy guy. He's a friend of mine also, so I'm sure you'll hear something from him soon.
He said some really good shows. I really enjoyed the AR-15 show. That was good, and then he did the whole Firearms Act show too. So I enjoyed that one too.
Yep, he's a very nice guy and another very good shooter.
Well, it's good. We're going to have a lot of great shooters.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to make things interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So my 20
bring the title to Ontario.
The only rule is Thomas is not allowed to shoot his compensated 22 with red dot.
Well, no. It's the zombie shoot is an NRA bullseye shoot. Anything is open. You can shoot center fire.
That's my rule.
No. Hey, if Pat's shooting his open gun, I'm shooting my 22.
If Pat's shooting, I'll just get Pat, fill Pat's mags for him.
All right. Fine.
No, I'll shoot it, but yeah. Like I said, I'll just fill Pat's mags for him because it's, you know.
The first charity shoot I went to about 3-4 years ago, I'm sitting there at the picnic table and I'm talking to Pat and a new shooter, and we're talking back and forth for about 20 minutes. And I've seen Pat shoot, so I knew who he was, so I was really enjoying the conversation. And then Andrew Craig goes to present the winner for the competition. You know, and I'm standing there with Pat. You know, I didn't think I had a hope in hell. And all of a sudden he announces the winner, and I beat Pat Harrison. And I just sat there, and I looked at Pat. I said, I beat Pat Harrison? I beat Pat Harrison? And I'm shaking. I was so excited that I made an idiot myself because, like, you know, Pat's like, is a shooting hero to me. And yep. I'm like, I just about lost it. In fact, I don't think I only beat him by like 1 point or 2 points or something. So the greatest thrill of my life was beating Trevor and Pat Harrison at the zombie shoot. That was 4 years ago. I'm going to have my ass handed to me on a plate this time. But,
probably, yeah. But like you say, positive mindset. and you never know what happens.
My whole intention was to beat Trevor. I didn't even know that Pat was going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, hey, that was an added bonus, I guess.
And the added, yeah. The funny thing, too, was I was speaking to Terry about that. What they did, and we're probably going to do the same thing, when we do the scoring for the prize table. So, you know, your top three people in each one are going to be qualified for the prize table. Then we cut the scoring in half. So you don't have to be the top. Again, the top three will win prizes for the prize table in the AQ2s and the zombie shoot. And then we'll cut the scoring level in half, and then the top three from those will get prizes as well. And Terry was saying last night, she goes, I beat Andrew Craig. Her whole thing was that she was happy. I beat Andrew Craig. So even if you don't score in the top three, it'll be like an A division and the B division. You still have a chance in the B division.
Perfect. That's a great idea.
Yeah. So that way everybody has an equal chance.
Yep, for sure.
And we're just waiting. I've had a couple of sponsors contact me, asking me what we want as prizes. And I said, I don't care. Anything shooting related, anything that you can give us would be really greatly appreciated. So we don't know what we're going to get. You know, it could be holsters, it could be mags, it could be hats. We don't know. We just really appreciate any donations that these sponsors are sending us.
For sure. Any little bit helps. That's for darn sure.
Uh-huh. We have some great sponsors.
Yep, that's exactly. That's the beautiful part about a lot of everybody here. They're always willing to help. So,
And we've got some great, like Kelly said, some really great sponsors. Like, you know, Firearms Outlet is one of the sponsors. NAS Guns is one of the sponsors. We've got SFRC sponsoring us. Not to mention we've got Dean from Select Shooting Supply sponsoring us, and then of course we have all the advocacy groups sponsoring us.
Yeah, so there's nothing wrong with that. No, you got everything's in the right places for sure.
You know, and some of the groups are different. Like the CFI is a small group. Yep. So Piper's got something that she's working on. We're not going to really announce what she's doing right now. We're get that coordinated with her. The CCFR, the entire board of directors is coming to the charity shoot.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool.
So we're going to have probably Tracy out there doing stuff with sweatshirts and stuff. And then can we say what the CSSA did? Or do we have to hold that back?
Why don't we wait for a little bit?
Okay. And the CSSA are going to be really, really super. John Evers hopefully be coming up. I hope Mike Dunhoven comes out. But the CSSA also really came up to bat. So we'll wait till that comes up.
For sure.
Yep. We just want to – we're in communication right now with Soldier On, and we want to get back some word from them about a couple of things, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay. Sounds good. Kelly's working on that one, so we'll leave that to her. And my shout-out is to Kelly. I'm going to add another shout-out. Kelly has done so well, and Kevin. She has done so much work doing the business cards and setting up the links for the websites and contacting Soldier Ron. So I'd like to personally thank Kelly for all her hard work. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, it'll be fun. And I'll take a vacation in January 3rd and June 27th.
Yeah, cell phones going in the garbage. All right, but I hear you.
Yeah, between work and getting sick and the charity shoot, oh my goodness, I'm ready for a vacation.
I guess you're gonna have to board the puppies for the charity shoot.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. Okay, so Jay.
Yep.
Do you know George's sign off, or do you have your own sign off that you want to do?
No, I don't have anything, to be totally honest with you. Nope.
Okay. Do you know what George says?
Nope.
Awesome. Do you know what I say?
Nope.
All right. Okay, who's George this week?
We got to make Jay George. You got to keep your barrels downrange and smoking.
That's George, though.
Yeah.
Well, you can copy Brian. I like Brian's shout-out. That's really good, too.
I would just shoot straight and keep safe. How about that?
Even better.
Okay.
Take your kid shooting.
Take your kid shooting. Educate.
Okay, and keep it classy.
Yeah, keep it classy, for sure.
Good night, everybody, and thanks for listening. See you next week.
Good night.
Yep, good night.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks, Jay.
Yeah, have a good night, guys.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye. With
Winchester attack. I like my double barrel.
Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at hosts@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day.